Welcome to the Powered Services Podcast, your one-stop shop for all the information, strategies, and insights you need to supercharge your MSP. Get ready to hear from other MSPs and industry experts in the trenches and behind the scenes to help you change the future of your MSP and increase your MRR. Now, here's your host, Dan Tomaszewski.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Powered Services Podcast. Really excited to have you. Will, how are you doing?
Doing good, Dan. Doing great. How are you today?
I'm excited. You know, we're going to dive into another episode around cyber insurance. You know, it's been coming up an awful lot still, and I think it's something that's going to still be around for quite some time. So I'm excited for today.
Yeah, I'm too. I know we've got a great guest, and I'm curious to see what his thoughts are on the topic.
Yeah, so let's bring our guest in. We've got Andy Anderson from Datastream Insurance. How are you today, Andy?
I'm good. Thank you guys both for having me. It certainly is. Insurance seems to be popping in so many conversations, right? So happy to be on. Share my thoughts for sure.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you give our listeners a little bit of background about yourself and just a little bit about Datastream so that they understand who you are and your background as we get into the discussions today?
Yeah, no, great. So I'm the CEO, co-founder of Datastream Insurance. We are a cyber insurance firm. We work exclusively in partnership with MSPs, basically to make sure that their customers have really good coverage and are just incorporating cyber insurance into their overall cyber risk program. You know, it's sort of that natural complement to the sort of the things that they're doing on the technology and the compliance side. And incorporating insurance into that, into those programs really kind of completes the offering that many of them have. We've been doing this for a little bit over a year. You know, our parent company's been at this for 5 years, so we know this space pretty well. But it's been just really exciting getting to know different folks in the channel and help them understand kind of how cyber insurance fits into the mix of what they're doing.
Yeah. So, Andy, I know you've got some kind of behind the scenes view or a front row view of what's going on with claims and, you know, just what are people submitting. You know, just my first question or the first thing on the top of my mind is, what are you seeing? What's happening? Is it going to be tougher to get insurance next year? I know we hear that a lot. Just kind of what's the landscape look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the landscape, and I think it's not, you know, in the last month or two, but really over the sort of last kind of 12 to 18 months, you just have seen the cyber insurance market significantly harden. And by that, I mean that it's harder to get coverage, that coverage is more expensive. And that's really been driven, as you mentioned, by the claims experience, right? So ransomware in particular has been a big driver of claims across the ecosystem. Not even just an increase in the frequency of the number of incidents, but also the severity. So they tend to be quite expensive claims as well. And so that's really has a lot of underwriters, a lot of players in the insurance market rethinking kind of how they model and understand risk, right? Like they're trying to make sure that they can underwrite it effectively and appropriately and not blow up their books.
Yeah. So a question for you on that. When you talk about you talk about the underwriting aspect of it. I guess the question I have is you hear from a lot of MSPs that are struggling with their customers to get covered. You know, they're getting, you know, the audits that are coming in or the questionnaires, and next thing you know, they're saying that their premiums are skyrocketing or their customers aren't able to get insured or the MSPs themselves aren't able to get insured, because of this. The question I have is, it doesn't seem like the insurance companies and the underwriters know what these MSPs are doing. I mean, some of these guys have got phenomenal defense in depth, you know, layers upon layers upon layers. In some cases, they're still being denied. Are you seeing, is there a magic sauce or, you know, a magic stack that's allowing, you know, them and their customers to be insured, or, you know, kind of wanting to get into that? Because that's the number one thing I keep hearing from MSPs is it's getting harder for me and for my customers. And I've got all these security measures in place and they still don't care.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's at two levels, right? So I think, you know, the customers and then the MSPs, right? So I think holistically, the entire ecosystem, you've had a reassessment of risk and pricing, where, you know, particularly a number of businesses that traditionally maybe had low loss trends, right? I think a lot of the businesses that you classically didn't think were potential targets of cyber attacks, so manufacturing businesses would be one example where, you know, they really didn't have a lot of confidential data, at least that could be easily monetized. Like, they didn't have a lot of credit cards, or they didn't have a lot of social security numbers or healthcare records, right? So when you saw them maybe lose records, you lost the employees' records, but that was relatively inexpensive to deal with, right? You sent some letters, you notified people, but it wasn't the type of situation where you see now, where ransomware, where essentially you've held up the operations of that business, and so suddenly, you know, the business and the insurance company kind of acting on their behalf has to make the decision between, hey, do we pay a ransom, or are we potentially down for weeks, if not months, while we try and build these systems back up, right? And I think that what people don't realize is how holistic cyber insurance policies really are now. They're not just about, you know, protecting you from the loss of confidential or private data. They also incorporate the coverage of the ransom, right? Actually paying a ransom if needed, but really the other piece that drives claims is business interruption. So they're on the hook for the cost of that business being down for weeks and months. And so that's what's, you know, really repriced a lot of different businesses, particularly some of those that had real-time operations or close to real-time. The MSPs themselves, I think, have particularly seen a lot of activity in terms of number of attacks. And that's because MSPs are just this sort of natural aggregator of cyber risk. They're touching lots of environments. And so if you were an attacker, you know, why go retail, take out one business at a time when you can go wholesale, right?
Right.
You can take out one MSP and hit all of them. And that's what you saw with a number of different MSPs getting targeted, you know, stories of dozens, if not hundreds of businesses all ransomware at once. And so that obviously you see a lot of potential losses. And the other piece is that for the most part, MSPs are not businesses that are traditionally high revenue businesses that have the ability to pay huge insurance premiums, right? So, you know, the rough numbers that we use when we think about cyber insurance is every business should have $1 million minimum of coverage. It's just kind of so easy to step into $1 million worth of an incident. And so you think even a small MSP that maybe has 20 customers, right? So they potentially are creating $20 million of potential risk, right? That's the, if you ransomware all their customers. So there's no way that an MSP of that size could get $20 million worth of cyber insurance, let alone pay for it, right? They just don't, they didn't go into business just to pay insurance premiums, right? Like, that's not why they're in business. So, you know, our view is that, you know, that MSPs are very difficult to insure. And I don't think that, and fundamentally the insurance shouldn't really sit at the MSP level. They should have some coverage to protect themselves, particularly around errors and omissions. But really most of the underwriting and the risk should sit at the customer level, because really the potential costs of an incident are borne by that company. And so you want to be close to that risk to understand what that company may be facing. You really want to understand what are the drivers that will of business interruption? What are the records? And so if you're trying to essentially cover them through their supplier in the MSP, you're sort of losing a lot of that understanding and analysis. And then the customer also, the whole customer base does typically have the resources to acquire more of that insurance. So
that's a fantastic explanation of kind of what the problem is for the MSP. I think you did a great job of illustrating it there. I guess kind of my follow-up question to that would be, as you guys are writing policies, what are you seeing MSPs put in place to make sure that they are putting that burden of insurance in where it belongs? You know, the pieces that are theirs are theirs. The pieces that should sit with the end customer sit with the end customer. Is that contracts? Are you taking a look into contracts to see what that language looks like, or what kind of level do you go into?
Yeah, to look at that? I mean, we sit down. I mean, when we work with MSPs, we do two things. One, we sit and try and understand, you know, our belief is that you should really require cyber insurance for your customers, right? Because fundamentally, you don't have the resources to deal with the issues if things go badly. And in many cases, they don't either, right? So in some ways, you as the adult in the room, as the MSP, and I think MSPs are pretty familiar with this position of having to kind of grab their customers by the scruff of the neck and say, no, you really need to do this, right? Because they understand the risk. So that's one thing. And then in their own contracting documents, right, you need to put in the appropriate amount of limits of your liability and the limitations of what you can do and what you're promising. And then the second thing is make sure that you're living up to those promises, right? And so we do that. We help our MSP partners do that. Also, you should be making sure that you have a really, you know, a licensed insurance broker and a trusted advisor who can help them think through those. If you're not a licensed insurance agent, you shouldn't be talking about in detail insurance. Like, you can talk in general about the category, but you shouldn't be talking about price, shouldn't be talking about coverage. You know, that's really for folks that are doing that. And that also puts you in a good place, right? Like, limit your expertise.
So I'm going to go rogue here on a question.
Sure.
This is normally when it gets interesting with me, but So I've had the opportunity of speaking to a lot of underwriters in the last, you know, few months, as MSPs are struggling with their clients and, you know, to get approvals. And it seems that, like, insurance companies are putting different products, okay? They'll say different things, you know, different RMMs. They'll say different security antiviruses. You can't have this or you can't have that. They list all these different products that actually have fairly decent security, but they don't list things like Microsoft. Like, you know, Microsoft's got all these vulnerabilities and zero-day exploits and things that are out there, but they're never listed. It's one of the bigger things. Why is it like certain things show up on the list and then there's things out there that are far worse that aren't on the list? Like, do you have any insight? Because when I've met with underwriters and like some of their senior leadership, after we've explained the defense in depth, the layers, and like the things that have gone on and the monitoring, they're like, okay, we'll underwrite it. But it doesn't seem like they get that layered approach in the cybersecurity space.
Yeah. So I think there's challenges at multiple levels. I think one of the things that underwriters really struggle with, and that I didn't appreciate before I really was running this business, was how the relationship that most carriers have to their customers all flows through the broker channel, right? And so that's why we've set up our business as we are a broker. We sell multiple, we sell 20 plus different insurance carrier products, and then we'll have our own product that we think will be a nice complement in the, you know, first quarter of next year, because our view is that you really need to build up a relationship with the end customer and to have those conversations and to understand what they're doing, because there's a lot of subtlety and there's a lot of difference. And when you're having that conversation or trying to have that conversation through a broker, it's a little bit like having a conversation through an old tin can telephone set, right? Like there's just so much loss of signal and fidelity and understanding there. And the broker themselves, like their role is to do the deal and to do it well, but also in many cases to do it quickly. And if you as a carrier are putting all of these additional requirements on, and then there's, 20 plus other options for the broker, why are they going to spend that time with this, with you kind of going through all of this due diligence, to when they could just take one step to the right and grab something that's a lot simpler. And then I think there's a more fundamental issue, right, at even the higher level of the underwriters, which is they're struggling to understand the data and what the actual quantitative impact is of those changes in posture on the risk, right? So, right. We deal with actuaries, right? And the joke is, right, trust in God. Everybody else must bring data, right? That's right. But the data is hard, and at our core, as our name would suggest, we're a data science firm, right? And we have a large number of PhD data scientists, and what we're trying to do is really understand what is the impact that different cybersecurity postures have on losses, and to quantify that. And the only way that we can do that is because we are majority owned by a large reinsurance firm. So we have data, a very large data set of actual cyber losses. And to understand how much any specific tool has on actual loss performance is challenging, right? Like we know the defense in depth is better, but how much better? Is it 20% better? Is it 40% better? Is it 60% better? So our goal is to start to quantify that. And that's why we're building up partnerships with MSPs to kind of get that frontline visibility, but also some partnerships with some of the largest cyber product companies, and to get them to share some of their data to understand how different their population sets look than what our sort of general population looks like. So
you said something interesting a while ago, Andy, just a phrase that kind of perked up my ears. You said something about living up to your promises, right? And so we all know you can't buy your way into security. You can't just go buy a bunch of products, throw them. It's kind of a three-legged stool approach, right?
Totally.
People, process, technology. We've got the right stuff, but we got to implement it. We have to get people to use it, that type thing. It just, to my mind, I'm sitting here wondering, what does an actual process look like to go through it and analyze a business and write it correctly, that discovery process? How long does it take? Are we talking days, weeks, hours? How in depth is it?
Yeah, no. Well, so for us, we use a number of different tools to do it, right? But one of the things that we do is like partly the nature of how we do things that's a little bit differently is that we can sit down with MSPs and understand what their sort of classic posture is. Right. And you can take a little bit more time because you have, you're trying to look at that whole MSP's portfolio, right? You're not like, I'm just going to work with a small business and look at this piece by piece by piece. Right. So now you maybe have, a group of 10 or 20 or 30. Right. And you can understand, the commonality there, and you get to do it with, the person on the other side of the table was an MSP who is technologically savvy, not necessarily a small business owner who, no fault of their own, but that, tech is not their first thing that they're thinking about. So even answering basic questions is a challenge. So we can do that. Then what we take those sort of generic postures that MSP may be using, we feed that into our models, right? And then we can analyze that using some very large machine learning models. And then that gives us a sense of what it may price. The second thing that we do is we like with our MSPs is to actually document and audit how they've answered the questions and what the posture looks like, because they've said one thing, but then we like to check, show us the screenshots from your, that you've got multi-factor. Show us the screenshots or however you want to document it, that you've got backups in place and down the line, right? And more often than you'd think, we discover out of that process, like, oh my gosh, like, well, this account doesn't have multi-factor authentication on it. Like, what's the deal there? Oh, well, that's, you know, our, you know, one of our old sales guys and he doesn't like it, right?
Right.
Well, that's great. But, you know, if you have a claim, that's going to be something that'll be a problem, right? So it's sort of that second set of eyes. And, you know, sunshine cures a lot of ills, right? And so what we like to do is to be that sunshine in a lot of these environments and understand what's going on. And, you know, insurance is a very interesting way of kind of regulating an ecosystem, right? It's sort of like regulation light. And it's done that relatively effectively throughout history, you know, in many different domains, and to use insurance for that as that means to do it.
So, and I know, you know, for me, it's always been a question of, you know, you mentioned a little bit ago, it's like, you know, there's a profile behind, you know, an individual or a user. And for like auto insurance, if I have a good driving record, my insurance rates normally go down, you know, and we see that, and, you know, it's all up onto me and my record, my profile. I know there's other factors that go into it, credit scores, things like that. Is anything like that going to be coming in the cyber side of it from the insurance base? Like, hey, this company's had cyber insurance for 6 years or 3 years. They haven't had a claim. They've got their defense in depth. They're doing these different strategies. Like, I think we're seeing right now, like you said, based on claim data, our premiums and that are going up, but it doesn't seem like it's going up for people that are actually investing more into security, and it doesn't seem like it's balancing. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm investing more into security, shouldn't my premiums in some respects be going down with me because, you know, of my posture?
Yeah, no, and I think that, I mean, that's exactly where we're going to focus our new product, because we weren't seeing that in the market, right?
Right.
That you were, you know, the if you roll back 18, 24 months, relatively easy to get coverage, right? You know, a short sub 10 questions, not a lot of scrutiny. Then you saw the pendulum swing really hard in the last 18 to 24 months, where now there's a lot more requirements. Okay, you know, you must have X, Y, and Z, but it's somewhat binary now. It's not as though you get credit for things. It's just like, if you aren't matching these criteria, no thank you, right? And that's partly the nature that there's that capacity, right? The amount of insurance available to purchase has either slightly gone down or frozen in many cases, and then the demand for coverage has increased, right? More people are wanting it at the same time. There's not enough out there. What we see is the sort of next phase is where exactly what you're talking about, which is you'll start to get credit for the things that you do. And so we'll have a product out to do that. And partly that's because we, you know, we're one of the few companies that really builds our own risk model and can start to think about how to incorporate some of that data. And then also we're actively working with, you know, on the front lines with organizations, as well as with some of those, you know, the product companies that have big data sets to tell us, okay, you know, it's, and you think even with those product companies, you know, they may know a lot about their own customers. But what's really interesting is that it's very challenging for them to understand what their non-customer loss and incident experience looks like, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're like, we've had 1 in 1,000. Is that good? Is that not good? Right? And our view is that this entire space, and by this entire space, I mean the cybersecurity industry overall, becomes much more metrics focused. And our view is that the insurance industry is a huge part of bringing those metrics to the ecosystem.
Well, that by going to a model like that, it's going to incentivize businesses to continue to invest in security. I think every MSP's struggle is they go out there and say, hey, you need this for this reason and stuff like that, and people don't understand it. And if their premiums are going up, they're sitting there going, I'm paying more for insurance, I'm paying more for this. Like, they just sometimes don't get it. So I think being rewarded you know, for investing in the proper things. And it's a really cool thing. I'm glad that something like that's coming, because I think that helps the MSP too. You know, as they're talking to their customers, if models were like that were in place.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and we have some tools to help kind of understand. We have this cyber insurance readiness tool that we built that sort of lets that MSPs and their customers can use to kind of understand how they'll be viewed by the insurance industry and whether they're going to be any red flags get raised by what their either their external posture looks like or their internal setup. You know, you can find that off our website, use it. Our partners are set up to do it. We can do it in bulk as well. And that's really helpful, right? Because I think it's helpful for the end customer to kind of get a little bit of clarity. Because I think, you know, as you brought up earlier, there's sort of, it's hard to understand this space. You know, the things keep, the sands keep moving, the requirements keep changing. It's tough to get kind of a straight answer, right? And the really challenging thing from the insurance space is this isn't like buying jeans. Right. If you walk into the Gap and you don't fit today, you can go back tomorrow. If you go try and buy insurance and you're like, sorry, you're denied, you may not be able to get underwritten by that carrier this year, if ever, right? Because they have so many submissions right now, they're like, you know, why would I take somebody who's kind of seems questionable? Even if they fix that one problem, it's sort of like, you know, the insurance underwriters realize there's a lot of things that they don't understand. So it's like, you know, what is it that I'm not asking that I don't know about, right? And if I had to tell you to fix your stuff, I'm the insurance people. You're supposed to be the cyber people, right? Like, you know? But I think for the end customer, you know, I think, how do you make this simple for them, right? And I think what we've been helpful for with MSPs is, you know, those words, you're uninsurable or you're virtually uninsurable, to a CFO, to a CEO who's not, you know, super sophisticated on the cyber side, they know what that means in the normal world. It means if my roof's uninsurable, I got to go buy a new roof. If my car's uninsurable, I got to go buy a new car. So it's like, you know, on the cyber side, it's like, hey, it's time maybe I need to get finally invest in all of these things that probably my MSP has been telling me to do for 5 years, right? So finally, it's sort of like, I need to grow up in some ways. And in general, like, that's what we see happening, I think. And the inclusion of the insurance into the conversation, it's just a general maturation of how we're thinking about these risks. And I think that's what insurance does really, really well. It helps. Not, you know, it rarely is insurance thought of as revolutionary or like groundbreaking or innovative, right? Like, we know who we are, right? We get invited to a lot of parties. We're really fun people. But we're really good at diffusing things, right? And getting sort of things to go across an ecosystem. And if you think of what the insurance industry has done for auto risk, right? Or it's done for fire risk. You rarely walk into a building and worry like, oh my God, if this building burns down, I'm not going to make it out, because there's exits and there's fire escapes and there's, you know, there's sprinklers and there's, you know, there's all the things that the insurance industry had basically, you know, driven into the building and fire suppression industry over 100+ years, same for auto as well. So.
Yep. One of the things, and maybe we'll wrap things up here, but one of the things that's on my mind as I'm listening to you talk here is, what part in your assessment is your you know, assessing a business and how insurable it is and what's that rating look like? How big a factor is the response plan? You know, because we have the statistics, we know it's probably going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
You know, we can minimize the risk as much as we can, but there's still a strong possibility it's going to happen. So that strong response plan for an incident, are you guys looking at that and analyzing that? Because, you know, throwing money at a problem, we've kind of talked about this already. You can't, you know, buy technology and make yourself safe. Yeah. You know, we can't throw a bunch of insurance at it in funds and potentially get it back. So, you know, what are you guys looking at there?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, and even before I was in this business, I mean, my mind had gone where I think some of the folks who have been in cyber security for a while has gone, which is to cyber resiliency, right? So it's not an if, it's a when, right? And certainly there's a plan there and just having a plan, but also thinking about reducing single points of failure, understanding the interconnectedness of systems, right? And really investing in resiliency, right? And I think, you know, the simple for me in resiliency is redundancy and independence, right? Those should be thought of as much as we think about, you know, security and hardening, right? I think so many organizations overinvest on the hardening side and the security side and underinvest on the resiliency, the redundancy and independence. And in some ways, insurance is a highly independent, redundant system, right? It's not reliant on technology. It's a safety system from the financial industry, right? So if all else fails, you can pull on this, you know, this parachute, right? And our goal is to, you know, drive down and spend all of the time with our partners and with the technology side of the house that parachute gets pulled as little as possible, right? But spend time with, you know, the parachutes that we saw coming down. And also, unfortunately, the bodies that are on the ground that didn't maybe have parachutes and understand what happened to them. And then also, you know, and then be talking to the people that are up in the airplanes going, well, you should think about X, Y, and Z because, you know, it's not friendly skies up there right now.
Yeah.
Right?
So, Andy, as we're wrapping this up, you know, I want to, one, thank you for being on with us today. I think this has been a really good discussion and just having some candid conversation around, you know, what MSPs are thinking. If an MSP wants to reach out or learn more, where do they go? How do they find you?
Yeah, I mean, right on our website, datastreaminsurance.com, right? We're all over the place. We actually are launching our own podcast. We'll have that we're going to sponsor the Cyber Insurance Podcast. We were very creative in our name. And then you can always email me, andy@datastreaminsurance.com. Easy to find us, right? And I think... guys, thank you so much for having us on. And I think, you know, in general, I think the MSP, you guys are just, MSPs in general are just crazy if they're not incorporating insurance into what they're doing and really making their customers get it. I think it's the right thing to do for their customers. It's the smart and right thing to do for themselves as well, right? Like they're one bad email click away from potentially yep. a business that they built blowing up, right? And if one of their customers doesn't have insurance, right? Even if it's not their fault, right? Like they're, you know, a desperate individual and a desperate organization is going to do anything they can to stay alive. And so if their customer doesn't have insurance, they're going to be suing, you know, this was your fault, blah, 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 right? Whereas, you know, when they have insurance, you know, things just can be a little bit more calm, right? And so... and then it also, I think the last is that it makes it much simpler, right? Like, why are we making all of our customers talk about, you know, a framework and aligning to these 17 controls and please look at this like crazy spaghetti puke diagram of mapping control to control. Like, you know, why don't you just say like, hey, you know, we're thinking about this. We also have insurance that are really good at this. Together we make a team and really make you safe and you can go back to making widgets or selling whatever you sell and make really, really well. And then you've got a really solid team on the cyber risk side, right? And anybody who is going to tell you that they're, no, we got this with technology. We're great. And, you know, you're totally safe. Like, you know, I would run the other way, right?
And thanks again. And good luck on the launch of your podcast.
I'll love to have you guys on. Should have some fun. We're going to give you some real stories of actual incidents. So it should be fun. Don't worry. Awesome. We're not going to talk about insurance for hours.
That's great.
So nobody showed up. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again. And thanks to all of you for listening. We're really glad to have everybody on and listening. And thanks for making this podcast great. If you have ideas or you want to be on the podcast, send us an email, supercharge@kaseya.com. We'd love to have you as a guest. Remember, this is all about you, the MSP. We're bringing in topics. We're bringing in experts. We're bringing in MSPs to make sure that, you know, this podcast is relevant to what's going on in the industry and the space and to help you out. So until next time, everyone, have a great one. And thanks again, Andy, for being on with us.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Great conversation, Andy. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the Powered Services Podcast with Dan Tomaszewski. We're dedicated to giving you practical information, tactics, and strategies that you can use to supercharge your MSP. If you like today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, this is the Powered Services Podcast, signing off.